Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." While he was saying these things to them, suddenly a leader of the synagogue came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." And Jesus got up and followed him with his disciples. Then suddenly a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be made well." Jesus turned and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. When Jesus came to the leader's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. And the report of this spread throughout that district. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Tell me about the company you keep, and I will tell you about your character. Tell me with whom you associate, and I will tell you who you are. A mirror reflects a man's face, but what he is really like is shown by the kind of friends he chooses. You are the average of the five people with whom you spend the most time. See that you associate with the right type of people. Be aware of the company you keep. You would be surprised how easily they rub off on you, and you do not want to attract the wrong influence. There is a connection between our friends and who we are. When you walk with trash, you end up smelling the same. The key is to keep company only with people who uplift you, whose presence calls forth your best. Never waste an hour with anyone who doesn't lift you and encourage you. These and more such aphorisms can readily be found online if you just look for the company you keep. Jesus seems to ignore these words of wisdom, and instead of knocking on the doors of the wealthiest individuals and asking them to finance his ministry, instead of scheduling regular lunch dates with the Pharisees and Sadducees who could boost his social standing, instead of inviting to his intimate circle the biggest influencers of his day, he calls as his chosen 12 a ragtag bunch of social nobodies, such as the fishermen Simon, Andrew, James, and John, others whose professions are not even worthy enough to note, such as Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Nathaniel, and social pariahs such as Matthew the tax collector. In today's gospel, we hear about the call of Matthew, who is sitting at his tax collector's booth, working as always, when Jesus says to him, follow me. Matthew does not hesitate. He gets up and follows Jesus. Now, how do you feel about paying taxes? Be honest. How do you really feel? If you're like most of us, you grumble about how high the tax bill is, but we pay what the government says we owe. In the time of Jesus, a tax collector actually insisted that you pay even more than the government said that you owe. That was how tax collectors made their money, by tacking on an additional amount to the bill. It was bad enough that they worked for the despised Romans, but to get rich by asking even more from people who already felt oppressed and overburdened? What righteous person would want to associate with a tax collector? They are hated, considered traitors to their own people, working for the enemy. Yet here Jesus is calling that person to join in his ministry. The Pharisees, the ones who were strict observers of the traditional written law, were often thought of as having pretensions to superior sanctity, what we might call having a holier-than-thou attitude. They see Jesus consorting with social lowlifes, with people they consider sinners, with people with whom they would never share a meal, not in their wildest imaginings. And they ask his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Why is he associating with those people? If he is a righteous individual, should he not be concerned about his reputation? What sort of an example is he setting? And you, when you recline at table and eat with sinners, right there with them, have you no shame? Are you not concerned about how this might look to be seen in the company of those people? Those people. The ones who don't look like us. The ones who don't think like us. Who don't behave like us. The ones who aren't as holy as we are. The known sinners. The perceived sinners. We all know who those people are. They are the ones who are not us. Jesus, the most righteous person who ever walked the earth, ate with those people. He called those people to be his disciples. He ministered to them. He taught them. He welcomed them, and he showed his disciples how to do the same, as uncomfortable as it might have been for them. I appreciate how the series The Chosen depicts the calling of Matthew, the shock and horror on the face of Simon. Do you have any idea what this guy's done? Do you even know him? Asks Simon. Yes, Jesus replies. I don't get it, Simon says. Jesus responds, you didn't get it when I chose you either. But this is different. I'm not a tax collector. Get used to different, Jesus replies. As he is at table eating with Matthew and the others, Jesus hears the question raised by the Pharisees. Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? He responded, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners. We don't hear the response of the Pharisees, but I'm sure it was shock and disapproval. Why quote from the prophet Hosea and ask them to go and learn what it means, as if they did not have intimate understanding of the prophet and his writings? What is this about disregarding the righteous and calling sinners? Is he really trying to say that God cares about sinners? That God is calling sinners to God's own self? That God does not delight in our observances of the ancient law, but instead delights in showing mercy to sinners? Those people, the social outcasts, those suffering from illnesses no human physician can cure, the helpless, the hopeless. Those are the ones who gravitate toward Jesus. These are the ones who in desperation seek him out. These are the ones he seeks out as well. Think of what it must have been like for Matthew. So used to seeing eyes filled with disapproval, scorn, and hatred. To look up from his tax collector's booth into the eyes of Jesus and to hear those words, "Follow me. Follow me." I was asked this past week what our official policy is as a church about welcoming those people. I think it's something we should discuss as a faith community. I'm going to leave it to your own imagining and your own prayer who you would consider other, who you might think of as those people. Would we welcome people who don't have the same skin color that we have, who don't speak English as fluently as we do, who don't have our same views on politics and social issues, who don't live the same lifestyle that we do? What might make us think of them as sinners, not worthy of our notice, as people we don't want sitting in our pews or eating with us at fellowship? What do we do about those people who might walk through the doors of the church, those people desperate to encounter Jesus, those people who've tried everything else without success, those people who know that their lives are missing something that maybe Jesus can provide? Aren't they the people Jesus kept encountering as he went about preaching, teaching, and healing? Aren't they the people with whom he associated? When we look at the company Jesus kept, what does that tell us about who he is? When we look around the sanctuary at the people gathered here today, what does that tell us about who we are? As I was thinking about our gospel reading for today, the song that came to mind is one from the Disney movie, The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Esmeralda has entered the Cathedral of Notre Dame. She is a gypsy, known today as Roma, a nomadic minority group that has traditionally suffered from discrimination. She looks up at a statue of the infant Jesus being held by his mother, and she sings, "I don't know if you can hear me, or if you're even there. I don't know if you would listen to a gypsy's prayer. Yes, I know I'm just an outcast. I shouldn't speak to you. Still, I see your face and wonder, were you once an outcast too? God, help the outcasts, hungry from birth. Show them the mercy they don't find on earth. God, help my people. We look to you still. God, help the outcasts, or nobody will." We then see other people in the cathedral and hear their prayers. "I ask for wealth. I ask for fame. I ask for glory to shine on my name. I ask for love I can't possess. I ask for God and his angels to bless me." And Esmeralda continues, "I ask for nothing. I can get by. But I know so many less lucky than I. Please help my people, the poor and downtrod. I thought we all were the children of God. God, help the outcasts, children of God." Whose prayer do you think was more pleasing to God? The prayers of the righteous seeking more blessings for themselves, or the prayer of one of those people, a social outcast who does not even feel worthy to speak to God or to ask anything from God other than help for her people? Jesus said to the Pharisees, "Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." That was his explanation for eating with sinners and tax collectors, for associating with those people. We do not hear the Pharisees' response to this comment, but let me ask you this. What is yours? Amen. Let us join together in our hymn of the day. We are a chosen people of God, and I ask that as you sing, you really listen to the words.
Thank you.